This podcast is brought to you by Shout Engine. In less than 5 minutes, you can start your own podcast for free with ShoutEngine.com.
All right, Smoking Tire Podcast. First off, got to talk about Wheelwell. You've heard about it in all the one takes I've been doing. Wheelwell is the automotive social network you've been waiting for. From Italian exotics to American muscle and rock crawlers, Wheelwell is the place to connect with others who share your adrenaline-fueled addiction. I'm on there, and you can go and look in my garage. If you go to wheelwell.com and just search Matt Farah, you'll find all my cars, all the information on the builds for my cars, all the parts I use, so you can make your cars like my cars if you so desire. Create a profile for your ride and share photos, specs, and keep track of all your modifications. When it comes time to sell your car, print out an entire vehicle history, making it easier to share with prospective buyers. And if you want to get involved in our one-take series, you want to drive your car, make a Wheelwell profile. Send it to our Facebook page. A lot of you have done that already, and we're booked through September. Damn. Lots of one-takes. All right. We're back. We're here now. Yes. Welcome.
Now. Right now.
Looking at now, sir. High school Rick is in the building. Hi, high school Rick.
Uh-oh. That's probably not a name I want to have.
Professor Rick.
Your voice is so deep. Professor Rick? We need like a catchy name.
Let's work on
high
that.
High school Rick. Corvette Rick?
That's better.
Want to be Corvette Rick?
Corvette Rick.
Rick just bought a Corvette. He's very excited.
We're very excited for a permanent driver now.
That is a permanent.
Is that your daily?
No, it's not my daily.
Oh, you have your truck.
I have my truck.
Yeah. Okay. It's nice. Was it 02, Z06, black.
Ooh,
stockish.
It's
stockish?
Sweet.
That's stockish, right?
It's got an air filter.
That's a great
air, huge mod. Huge performance gains.
That's a great deal of a car, though. Like, you get much, and it's a great platform to run off of.
And Dubai Phil's hiding in the corner, and he may come on the mic later, but we want him to, but he's committed to that couch.
And Forza.
You can play Forza Horizon 2 with the volume off. The remote's right there, Phil. I'm not trying to take you away from Forza.
We can have some zinging in the background.
We can't have Forza going on in the background of the
show. Yeah, we can. A little bit.
We can't. Meow. Phil, if you want to take that remote and turn the volume off, feel free to play Mute Forza. It's the new expansion pack, Mute Forza.
Do we have some headphones going on Xbox?
Get the full deaf experience by playing
TV?
Mute Forza.
Yeah.
Tried.
Oh, but speaking of Fast and Furious, I'm judging a contest that GoPro's doing. So they have like a special thing you download. It's gopro.com/furious7. You download their like template for their studio editor, and you like make your own video using some footage and some of your own footage, some movie footage and some of your own footage. And then I'm judging the contest. It's like a whole bunch of racing drivers and a fat bald man.
What do you win?
Well, I win everything GoPro makes just for doing the contest. What do they win?
Yeah.
The grand prize is a trip to stunt driving school.
Sweet.
I don't know which stunt driving school. That's the grand prize, and then there's
hosted
lots of
by Sarah Trimble.
Sub prize. Yeah. There's sub prizes that are GoPro packages.
Can I win?
You win by knowing me because all
I mean,
gear,
I want to go to stunt driving school. Can I enter and have one vote?
Your huge drive salary should pay for such things. You greedy fuck. We pay for these videos every month. You rich fucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go to stunt driving school when you just make a video submit. And I will judge it.
How many people do I have to get to win? To vote for me.
Well, there's five judges, so, I mean, presumably...
Three.
Who are
three,
the other people?
Right. Bryce Menzies is one. He's a racing driver. Joey Logano is one. He's a racing driver. The guy, his first name is Nick. I can't remember his last name. He's the founder of GoPro.
Okay.
Nick Billionaire.
Yeah. And then there's someone else who also makes videos, but he does like commercials or something. Like not Zwart, but a Zwart-like.
Zwartish
guy. It was a nice thing to get asked. I
that's cool.
Of all these people, I'm probably the least qualified.
Did you say the first guy's name was Menzies?
Bryce Menzies.
That's an awful name.
But he's a legit driver, though. So he made that name cool. He's like Patton Oswalt. I just heard Patton Oswalt on the radio today talking about like DJs who changed their name to something cool. And he's like, you're not fucking cool. My name's fucking Patton. Patton's a shitty fucking name. You can't work around that, so you work with it.
You just own it.
It's like DJ Snake.
TJ Snake.
Yeah, let's come up with something cool. Snake.
Yeah. What was my favorite was DJ Tanner. Just from Full House.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I'm terrible. No, that was an actual DJ in college who went by DJ Tanner.
Went by DJ Tanner. Some people just don't care. Like, I'm DJ Joe. You're like, what's your name? Joe.
That's like a wedding DJ. Right.
You know, that I'm okay with more than the pretense around giving yourself some stupid fucking name.
I figure if you're going to, like, try and, you know, brand yourself as a thing, go all the way, like Dead Mouse, or don't
be you.
Just be a name.
Yeah.
Just Zach. You're just going to be Zach.
I'm just Zach.
Well, they all press, you know, they all press play the same way.
So. No, just
what was the band from Can't Hardly Wait? Hamburger Love? Or something like that? It was that hamburgers on their shirts.
They play Power Slop mostly, right?
Mostly Power Slop. Okay. Yeah, yeah. What else is going on?
Is that a metal joke?
It's Airheads. Airheads. Power Slop.
We're mostly, you know, Power Slop band.
So Rick bought this Corvette. What are you going to do with it?
So far, I'm trying to figure out what to do for wheels and tires.
HRE, Flowform, FF01, Michelin Pilot Supersport.
If I was the famous Matt Farah made of money.
One of these statements is true.
He got himself out for
those wheels. I had to work for my wheels. We could. What would I have to do for you for that? Go get them for you, right?
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would help.
Well, we need to talk about these CNC machines.
Yeah, I know. What are we going to do? Yeah.
That's it. Wait until you get the CNC machines and you can make your own wheels.
What is the quid pro quo?
Do you have those the 3D plotter thing? We'll just bring you the wheel. You plot it and cut it out
yourself.
Yeah,
why don't you just laser scan my wheel and knock it right off?
Right,
just like China.
A little patent infringement.
Hey, it's only infringement if you sell to more than a couple people.
Only if you advertise.
Yeah.
So if I give them away, we're all good, right?
I think we're fair. I'm not a patent lawyer, but
like,
I think
you buy this bong and I'll give you this 4 pounds of weed for free. The bong costs $5,000.
Never trust Thad's legal judgment because it always is followed by probably.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
It's like
ever.
You can build the AR-15s like with no serial numbers for personal use. And so why couldn't you build wheels?
Because anytime you've said to me, we should do X, I go, can you do that? You get this look and you tilt your head and you go, sure.
Yeah.
You
America. You can do whatever the fuck
Haven't
you want.
Haven't we just learned what happens when you put wheels on a car that aren't like good?
Oh.
Your car becomes a tripod for months like mine was.
Mm-hmm.
I just got it back. We went driving. It was very nice. It was fucking spectacular.
The problem with your car was tire technology outgrew your wheels.
That's true, actually.
That's what we think.
So my new wheels are 3 pounds each lighter in the front and a pound and a half lighter
Big
in the rear.
Big difference, isn't it?
Not in the steering as much, but the brakes the brakes stayed firm longer.
Did your suspension feel any different?
Not really,
because
actually.
That was the biggest thing I noticed when I changed the wheels on the Fiesta was that the suspension smoothed out a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think you had a bigger difference, though. Wasn't your difference in wheels even more drastic?
7.5 pounds per corner?
Yeah. That's a big difference. That's cheapy stocks versus, you know, super light aftermarket.
Because you have 18s, 19s. What do you have?
19s and 20s. And so my front wheels are 21.
With tires?
No, just the wheels. My front wheels are 21.5 pounds. And my rears are 23.
Yeah, like the stock Fiesta.
Which for a 19 and 20, I'm told, is pretty light, actually.
The stock Fiesta was 22.
Yeah, and that's on a 17, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was more excited about having a wheel that's strong.
A wheel that stays in
the
round shape.
There's nothing more goddamn frustrating.
You didn't want the Oregon Trail wagon wheel that's always broken.
Ugh. Yeah. I would have to be like fucking Anthony Hopkins and... in fucking World's Fastest Indian with that stick on his trailer? No. Nothing,
That was a great fucking movie.
Very good movie.
I know. We wanted to go to Invercargill when we were in New Zealand to see what that was about because I heard it's a good. We heard it's a cool scene down there.
I sat next to the guy that built the motorcycles for the movie.
That was the most New Zealand experience ever.
It really was. First time on the plane. How's it going? I built all the bikes for that, and we used to race in that. I go back home.
You didn't sleep on that flight.
I did.
That was, serious stuff. What were we just talking about? Oh, wheels that don't break.
Wheels that don't break are a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So your hub's connected to the barrel? Like all...
My spoke bone is connected to the bolt bone, which is connected to the tire bone.
It'd be amazing if that was the phone call you had to make one day. Like, you got so mad over and over, and you're like, listen, motherfucker, the spoke bone's connected to the barrel bone.
That almost sounds like something from Dr. Nick on The Simpsons.
Hi, Doc.
Speaking of The Simpsons, someone emailed me and offered to let me drive the Homer.
No.
Yeah.
Sold.
They built the
Drop
Homer
everything.
For Lemons Racing, and they offered to let me
drive the Homer.
I mean, it's going to be a shitbox.
Who cares?
That's
the point. Homer.
It's one. I mean, it's just another day of shitboxing.
Speed hole.
Which is better than having a day job. So
that's true. And speaking of shitboxing, Spike Ferriston. Do you follow Spike on Twitter or Instagram?
Let's say yes.
Spike Ferriston, well, funny guy. Listen to our podcast with him. He does Car Matchmaker on Spike. Spike.
Esquire,
right. I lent him the Lexus.
Yeah.
He wanted to see what the Lexus was about for his show. I think he was helping a band find a car to put a lot of miles on, because they're a touring band or something. And he had very nice things to say about the Lexus, and he said that the social media response to that car was the highest of any car they've ever done on the show. And he was posting all day today, posting pictures of it.
We need an Instagram account for the Million Mile Lexus.
A strictly Million Mile Lexus Instagram account?
Million Mile Lexus at Instagram.
Okay.
And some hashtag stickers. I don't know. Give me an email account, make Million Mile Lexus at Smoking Tire, and I'll fucking fire it up.
All right. Cool. It got fucking dented at the repair shop after I spent fucking $2,100 on this goddamn thing for it to feel reportedly exactly the same as before. And while it was there, it got dented. And he didn't call me either. We rolled up to go pick it up, actually to go pay him. And he was like, I was like, is that what the fuck? It was a big ass dent on the door. I was like, yo, what happened? And he's like, oh, I was going to tell you about that. It got dented. Are you fucking kidding me?
So why didn't he fix said dent?
He's fixing said dent.
Yeah.
But I had to have the car ready for Spike, and of course it happens like hours before that.
Yeah. Does he moonlight as a novelist? Because his description of how the dent happened is amazing.
Yeah, Pulitzer material right there.
Oh, it got dented.
It got dented. We may have to find the new guy. I don't want to like totally throw him under the bus, but he really likes to talk. He calls me and tells me all these parts need replaced, and I say, okay, some of them get done and some of them don't go, and then I still spend a lot of money. It's not, I don't want to say it hasn't gone well, but I can't really see where most of my money has gone.
That,
that
car is 20 years old.
I know.
It takes a while.
Like everything needs replacing? How many things should need replacing, Rick? You do this.
Not a lot. There's the things that need to be replaced, and then there's the things that I need to replace to get money out of your wallet and into mine.
Because here's the thing.
Anything that doesn't actually need to be replaced.
Because he's
a perfectionist is the thing. It's like there's a vibration. Oh, I know this. Well, they try that, and then it's still there. Then
yeah, like there was this high-pitched kind of like a radio frequency noise, like a high pitch, like that electrical whine, where you have like a ground or something. And something is fucked up in the electrical system. And he goes, "We need to replace the alternator, replace the battery."
It's a ground,
and the fucking noise is still there.
It's a ground.
So now we have to dig through the whole car and find this ground.
Well, Lexus is nice enough to provide a diagram that shows you where all of the grounds are. Okay. So it's just a matter of going through one by one, just like you do on a Corvette.
That's a shitty job.
Take it off. Sand it down with some sandpaper so it's nice and shiny. Put it back on. A little dielectric grease.
Sounds like a lot of money. I thought that for $2,100 that would have been gone.
You know what? This goes back to my dad's tried and true method of fixing things like that. Turn the radio up.
Unless the noise gets worse when you turn the radio up.
Here's what I'm not doing. I'm going to go with the new improved Rob Ferretti model of fixing cars. If the car moves under its own power, it doesn't need fixing. That's the Rob Ferretti model.
Yeah. I agree with that for private cars.
If the car, this is a private car.
I know. I'm just
if the car keeps driving, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not spending a fucking dime.
Yeah.
Well, I think you need one minor change to that. If you can predict that it's going to break down, you should probably fix that.
Yeah, no, like we're doing the timing belt. Like that, like you got to do that. And then the only two things that are left are the timing belt and the harmonic balancer, both of which are on their way out and both of which I think are pretty necessary.
I would say that's a good idea. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be finding out how much a Lexus LS400 motor and a 900,000.
That's what I'm
Lexus
saying.
Costs.
Yeah, nothing.
That defeats the purpose of everything, though. If it blows up before a million,
no, that's I know. Yeah. But I have to make at least reasonable efforts to get it.
Well, if you go back to a fresh maintenance schedule after this full thing, you got two maintenances and then you're at 100,000.
Yeah, that. This is going to get so expensive so fast.
It's a three-year project. It just take about over 3 years.
I know, but I got to daily this thing starting next week. My sister's moving here. She's taking the Volt.
Hey, you go out of town a lot.
Press cars, my friend. Press cars.
Your daily is like once a month, isn't it, by the time you get out with press cars?
I go on these, like, if we're shooting drive, when we're in season for drive, I don't get press cars because we're traveling and we're doing all these other shit. And so I end up driving my own cars. But when we're out of season for drive, that's when I start booking press cars and doing other shit. So I'm in a press car heavy mode at the moment, but that won't last. I can't buy or sell a car based on my current schedule of press cars. Because inevitably that schedule will run out and then I'm fucked.
Ironically, Fiesta's that'd be the most rational reason to purchase cars.
Ironically.
The Fiesta's well under miles, by the way. I'm not even at 10,000 miles.
Is I know.
Well,
that's
really?
why you and I are sharing the Lexus.
Dad, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I need time to
because, like, when you and Zach
it.
Go to San Francisco to shoot Big Muscle, you could take the Lexus and then I'll just take the Fiesta.
Yeah, we should do that.
Sure.
Fun.
Yeah. You need to start doing that, road tripping that, putting it. I'm getting the seat fixed. The seat was a little blown out on the left side. So I'm getting it. It's $100 to get the whole seat refoamed. I'm super stoked, actually.
Can you get them to add foam if you want?
Yeah. This place, you can do your car.
They can have them, like, bolster?
They can make your car, like, they could carve it into, like, a Recaro.
No.
I'm going to do that.
You could have carved out bench seats
on both seats.
I got
cheap
so much
ass
room in that car, dude.
Both seats.
On both seats?
Yes.
We should get the other one made for you because you spend the most time in that passenger seat.
Can't we just go to a junkyard and find, like, a crashed Mercedes and get the front seats and put them in your car?
In that?
Depends
probably
on the track width.
Do they fit?
That's a lot easier said than done.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it easier said than done making the power work or physically getting the seats in the car?
Well, physically getting them in the car, you're going to have to make a mount to get the seat to fit in there.
You can't just pull it out with its bracket?
They never, ever line up.
Really?
Like, Honda Civics are about the only thing where you can take same model car and from one generation to the other, they mostly line up.
Okay.
Every Honda seat squeaks the same exact fucking way.
Exactly. It's taken them a long time to perfect that.
Yes.
It's actually trademarked.
Yes.
It's like the sound of our Corvette's doors closing.
Oh, yeah.
That is a trademark clickety-clackety. It's the word. You close a Corvette's door, it's like, you can hear, like, five things moving against each other in the fucking
It's not
door.
Really a car, just kind of a close formation of parts all moving in the same direction.
Yeah. Great car, but, like, how many times during development did they open and close those doors? And it was like, Jesus, guys.
That's why the shit's all loose in there. It's every car. They had a robot, like,
that's quality
tested
control.
The hinge.
Well, he doesn't have the cabin pressure issue in his vet to deal with. As a Z06, you missed that whole issue. Cabin pressure issue. In a C5, your trunk is a separate airspace from your compartment, your passenger compartment.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No. It's totally flow through.
You can see right through?
Yep.
So if you have your doors closed and you close the trunk, does the pressure become too great and your trunk won't close? Because that's what happens with mine.
Not too much. I think the seals are worn out enough on mine. Oh,
okay.
Not so much of a problem.
Because mine, if the doors are closed and you go to close the trunk, the air pressure, it just goes and sits.
Well, that hatch is moving a lot more air than his little trunk, too.
That's not worn out. It's broken in.
That is a good perspective.
It's broken in.
It's a wear-in item.
So speaking of broken in, so when I pop the trunk lid doesn't come up enough. So you have to make sure you pop the trunk and then close the door. And the air pressure differential pops the trunk up.
Oh, so you have the other way. Yeah, yours is the other way. Yeah, okay. You've managed to take advantage of that.
To the point where there are multiple places online that make a spring that goes in the latch.
It's a stiffer spring to pop it more?
Well, there isn't the one at all from the factory.
Oh.
So, but it actually pops the trunk up about an inch to get your
finger there you
out
go.
The trunk.
And they fixed that later because they now have power trunks.
Yeah.
Which is a necessary
Although
thing.
Although I drove my vet for the first time the other day because I went in, did usual maintenance and fixed a couple of exhaust leaks and all that crap over the weekend. And get in and drive and I'm like, I feel like I'm a little crooked in this street. The left side of the driver's seat is probably about half an inch to an inch lower than the right side at this point.
Yeah.
It's time to put aftermarket seats.
Yeah. Once the Corvette seat goes, it's really gone. You're not getting it back.
Yeah, it's pretty shameful at this point.
Yeah. We'll get the ones I have and he got are the Sparkos.
I'm going to go with the Recaros.
Oh, yeah.
Profi
XL?
No, I want to do the... What they
Pole position?
Sportster CS.
Which one is that?
Is
that the one that looks like the new Corvette seat?
No, this is almost exactly the same seat as a 911 Carrera S.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good seat.
Have you seen the Bimarco seats? They're like knockoff Sparco Recaros.
What are they called?
Bimarco, B-I-M-A-R-C-R. They're like
Bimarco?
Yeah, look
what
it
are
up.
They, Chinese?
No, they're, I don't
no,
know.
No, they're Puerto
they
Rican. It's Bimarco.
It sounds like they took two letters from every famous aftermarket name and put them together.
They're built essentially the same way, and they're like $600 a seat instead of a
Jesus,
1200.
For knockoffs, they're Oh, is Recaro's or is
Look them up. They're like
the carbon.
No, they're FIA WRC certified.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're like they're certified.
Bro, you need to get the Bimarco,
and they're cheap.
It's the mono price of car seats.
I'm fine with mono price, but not where my ass is going to sit for 30,000 to 40,000 miles.
Yeah,
You won't
freight
ever drive that car that much.
I will over the next 10 years.
30,000 miles.
Hey, my Corvette and his Corvette have the same mileage, and they're 10 years apart.
Yeah.
I should be getting shat on.
I dailied mine for a while. That's the only reason his mileage is that high.
I only dailied mine for a month when the NYPD had my fucking Mini.
Yeah, I actually drove that daily for like 3 or 4 years. So it was a while.
What else we got? We have the S3 this week, Audi S3. It's fucking sweet.
Beautiful.
Sepang blue. That color, right? Yes, that we saw one in Malibu the other day, and it was black. And it just vanishes into the sea of bland cars. And the blue, you can see it. Like, I went on a hike with my girlfriend today. We were on the top of a mountain. You could see all the way down, like, 1,500 feet to the parking lot. And you could see the Sepang blue. It was like, yeah, look good.
You got an inspiration point?
We hiked at Los Leones. Los Lions.
Yeah,
Los Leones.
Yeah, it goes to a peak.
The one off of Sunset. Yeah, it's steep as shit.
Yeah.
It was good though. It was nice. The S3 though, it's basically a Golf R underneath, Audi body on it. Thad and I both agreed that the front is like it's fucking spacious,
voluminous.
Yeah, like the way the dashboard is, like the knee room, and there's like a lot of room in there. It's nice and like. It's fast.
Well, that car used to be called the S4 about 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. It's basically the same size as a B5 S4. It's basically the same price adjusted for inflation as a B5 S4. And it makes 75 more horsepower than a B5 S4.
Yeah, I saw.
And gets better fuel economy.
Zach Bowman did a good write-up on it where he was beating the shit out of it on some fire roads. Ended up breaking the front suspension on it. But
On dirt?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
He was basically rallying it.
No, this thing's got a very stiff suspension. You don't want to do that.
No.
He was doing thorough testing.
The only if you go over a speed bump, like at an angle, it's like that. It's got, I guess it's probably really tight sway bars combined with stiff springs. There's no articulation.
You get the bouncy.
So you just get thong, 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 thong. Yeah. Your fucking head, your coffee goes all over the place. It's not good. But the rest of it is...
That's first world problems, right?
Yes.
WPP. That's what we call WPP.
The car moves, though. I was not being left too far behind between your car and the Porsche Targa.
No, and you wouldn't. In the Canyons, you wouldn't. That car
if
would
I
keep
could
up.
Cut double yellows, I would be right there.
And I got oversteer on the braking, which is good. And the stereo bumps. It's really loud. And I don't know what
What's
else.
The sticker
it's worth 50 G's? $49,000, which
that's
I
reasonable
actually
for that
think
car.
Is worth it. It's quite a bit of car. And it's got adaptive suspension and torque and brake vectoring and adaptive steering. Like, it's got a bunch of shit in it. They finally put a USB port in it.
For charging only.
It says charge only right next to it.
Yeah, but it's got Bluetooth, right?
Yeah. All I ever wanted was the goddamn charging port. That was it. It wasn't.
Actually, I would rather in the Fiesta if it didn't hook up through Ford Sync over USB and just
every time you plugged it. You wish you had a charge only option.
I fucking hate Ford Sync
much. The Volt, every time you plug it in, it goes automatically switches to the input. I wish you had a
Ford Sync on Bluetooth isn't so bad.
On Bluetooth, but like the call, like if you go to dial from the steering wheel and everything, it never works right. The voice commands always suck.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had good luck with those.
Chris isn't good with computers.
It's that Bastion.
I do have a number of things that don't understand Boston. Me. So
when you say, you fucking cunt, it doesn't call your mother, okay? I know that's what you're trying to do.
No, it calls my sister. Jesus.
But the S3 is good. I did a video with it. What else? Is there anyone? Would you have any other S3 comments? We fit four people in it on the way over here.
I thought it handled really well for its size.
You can fit four in it.
How's the back seat room?
Phil, how's the back of the S4?
Yeah, it's doable.
He said doable.
There is a back seat.
Hear that. There is a back seat. The trunk's big.
I don't know.
It's not Goldfather.
Glucker just left. We saw Glucker on the way out from Hooniverse, and he saw it. And he said, "Oh, that thing is nice. Goldfather is better." That's exactly what he just said.
Yeah, he had those back to back.
Yeah.
If you drive it,
it's probably almost the same thing, except $10,000 less, right?
If you're going for trunk space, that thing that he drove out of here with is about the best you can
do. Ram Promaster City?
Yeah.
That is not a good looking vehicle.
That's a great little grip truck, though, for like a...
That's what he said, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
We could have all of our gear in there.
Same thing with the Transit Connect. Yeah. The Transit Connect is not hideous looking either.
I actually think that's probably got more room than the
Transit.
Both
of those... Remember Zach and I took that fucking van on the canyons?
That was a big one.
Yeah, that was the biggie one.
Was that the one you were trying to stand up in?
Yeah, he was like skating in it.
I didn't try to stand up. I stood, damn it. In the canyon.
It was G-force sliding. It was great. It was amazing, but not a good looking vehicle at all.
No, that was a utility van.
Yeah, yeah,
that was the full size one.
Well, this is a utility van as well.
It's it was just the shrunker.
It's a little mini utility van. Was there a back seat?
Super
in that
Legere.
Thing? Yes. Oh, there was.
Yeah, it was like
and a giant trunk.
Yeah, it's like a Honda Element with more room.
Oh,
that one is. It was almost exactly the same layout. Was exactly the same. It was a Honda Element, 25% bigger.
Was it the 4-cylinder?
It was a Fiat Multi-Air in it.
The Multi-Air. I never understand the that
there's
name.
Many it's different types of
air. There's so many kinds of air that you can run through this engine. And you can and fart into it.
It being a Fiat engine, it's probably about as reliable as a fart, too.
Fiat is not doing well. It's just probably because they don't make very good cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Blake, he's like, him and his girlfriend were looking at Fiats, and I was like, oh, the electric one? And
yeah.
He was like, no, she likes the gas. And I was like,
what?
Get the You're warranty. A sucker.
The electric one makes a lot of sense because it's basically free.
Yep.
It's so cheap that it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Blake likes two kinds of cars, broken cars and awful cars. Mm-hmm. Those are the only cars that kind of
Is his
he
bike
likes.
Functioning, poor Blake?
Yeah, his bike's actually the most reliable thing he's ever owned.
Wow.
And it's
a Moto Guzzi is the most reliable thing he's ever owned.
This is a man that's been through three engines on a Miata.
How does that happen, actually?
Blake?
I thought those cars were supposed to work properly.
After the first engine, you should have put in an LS motor and just been done with it.
I was telling him
he probably could have.
He could have done a 5-liter swap for like $2,000, and I was telling him he should have done that, but...
I did a one take with this shitbox 91 Fox with IRS in it.
Yeah.
And it was the one with the light switch in it.
Is it the black one that's
the black one with the with the fucking Home Depot light switch in it? Yeah, Mike is awesome. It was a really good
fun. I like that car.
He grenaded the shit out of that motor, so
really?
He's dropping an LS in it. Yeah, we'll revisit that project.
Oh, I hope he sells that project someday.
Yeah. Well, we just saw the project.
If it'll fit in a Fox, it'll fit in a Panther.
That's true.
LS Vicky.
But we just saw this project, dude. We saw 83
and him.
We saw an 83 Ford LTD.
It's got slave
the
labor.
Fox Platform LTD. Was it also the Granada or something? I don't know. Yeah. And it had a 91 Mustang GT drivetrain, 5-speed, 5-lug swap, disc brakes, subframe connectors, and sway bars.
Because it all just bolts up.
It was $3,000 on Craigslist. That's what I'm saying.
The parts are worth more than
that. Yeah, for $3,000, you have Beater Drift Taxi.
Yeah. It looked fun.
It looked dope. And I saw a guy on the canyons with an LTD on Sunday.
Really?
He was up there, and he was talking to me about my car, and I was like, he's like, what are you driving? And he showed me that. I was like, is that an LTD? And he's like... You know it. He's like, it's LX. They only made 3,126 of them. I'm like, you don't need to know that about this car. It doesn't matter.
If they only made 300 of them, it'll still never
And he knew that other car that was on Craigslist. I was like, I just saw one on Craigslist. He's like, the blue one? He's like, yeah, way overpriced.
That's bad. Because all those parts add up to that. That's not good.
Yeah. You know what's also fun that's kind of in that genre? Mark 8s. Because they had
or
the
Mark 7s.
I like the Mark 8 because it had the 32-valve Cobra motor in it.
Yeah, but the Mark 7 had that spare tire hump.
You like spare tire humps?
God damn it! I'm just kidding.
Nah, I think spare tire humps should be banned.
I agree.
Yeah, out of the Lincolns, anything spare tire,
I think they
got to
bring them back.
No.
No. Dude, that Caddy CT6 needs that. Boom, spare tire.
Uh-uh. Oh, some aftermarket asshole will do it on that car. You know that.
And a Lando top.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, dog, I heard you like flat tires.
You some asshole in my neighborhood's got a new CTS, Lando top, wire wheels.
Oh, I've seen that thing around. I've seen a couple of those. Like, I've seen new Malibus with Lando roofs on them. Like,
and it's always driven by some octogenarian.
Yeah.
Play's got to play.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Play's got to play.
Bishop Don Magic Wand.
Did your class want to put a manual transmission in a
graphic card? I heard you last time and actually looked it up. It's not quite as easy as it sounds.
Oh, I know
you have
that.
To make a pedal box, right?
You have to make the pedal box for it.
What if you bought a floor-mounted racing pedal box? Would that be easier
That'd
or harder?
Harder,
really?
In Crown Victoria because there might not be space for it.
That's true. What if we took out the back seat and Zach drove from the back with an extended steering column?
We could do all
like
kinds
Cannonball
of stuff.
Run 2. Remember with
Absolutely.
The monkey up front? Drove into the pool.
I'm gonna carry this recording on my phone, and anytime. Like Musto or any of these guys that meet at the shop that say put them, you know, I'm just gonna hit play. And your voice is going to be like, it's not as easy as it sounds like. That's a shop t-shirt with a CNC machine.
Now, yeah. I understand that I do have a bit of insanity. Chris can vouch for it.
Yeah.
I somehow wound up with a 240D Mercedes.
Really?
The sedan version instead of the wagon version.
Oh, is it a four-speed?
No,
it's an automatic. Auto, so it's really slow.
Oh, my God.
It's really bad.
So you've been through Corona, right? You know, 15 south towards Temecula. So if you take the 91 and you go south from the 91 to the 15 south.
Okay, yeah, sure.
That big long sweeper.
It's proper middle of nowhere, yes.
Yeah. So if you're doing 70 at the bottom of the hill, by the time you get to Ontario at Sam's Club right there, 40. It's full throttle as fast as it will go. Downshifted to second.
Yeah, yeah.
Will not go any faster.
Yeah.
So I ripped that shit out because it blew a high pressure oil line.
And that was the end of it?
You could not have gotten more oil in the engine compartment if you had put it in a hose and sprayed it.
You don't get one of those Exxon Valdez ducks?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. The jugular in an action movie just everywhere.
Was there a sad slow-motion commercial of you with a toothbrush? Like,
no.
We need your help.
I have I had $1,000 into the car.
Yeah.
And the hose was $150. Okay. It was a major pain in the ass to get to. I was like, screw it. It's not worth fixing.
So what did you do with
it? So I just happened to also have a one-ton Dodge diesel sitting there.
Mm.
And I took some measurements.
Cummins?
Yeah.
That's an inline, right?
Inline
six. Yeah.
So I took some measurements, and I'm like, that'll fit.
Yeah. Ish?
Ish. Way ish.
Really? How far back do you have to whack the firewall?
Well, so we started looking at it, and we're like, all right, well, we can't put the radiator and the intercooler up front, because there's definitely not space for that.
Right.
So we start to put it in. Well, Mercedes, in their infinite wisdom, decided that the sway bar should go across the firewall in the back.
Really?
Instead of like normal, you know, running underneath.
It'd be like a front-wheel drive car, where they do that sometimes.
Yeah. And it also is the upper locating link for the front suspension. So you can't just take it off and throw it away. So we get in there, and we're like, all right, sway bar's got to go. It's just not going to fit. So we're taking it out, and I'm looking at stuff. Yeah, basically, there's like a 3.5-foot diameter hole in the firewall. Because the transmission bell housing is like 3.5 feet in diameter. It's massive.
From the truck.
From the truck.
Okay, yeah,
so to get the engine fit just fine, what we didn't account for was the size of the transmission bell housing.
Oh, okay.
So we're cutting out most of the firewall and most of the
By the way, this is Glucker Project 2.0. You know this, right?
Yeah, but I don't... Well, yes, I do.
Do you have a steering column? If you work that out, now.
Steering column isn't an issue, and I have a steering rack from a Toyota Paseo. That we're going to make work one way or the other.
Okay.
It may take a 23-point turn.
The Paseo is known for its fine steering feel.
Well, it's considering...
I remember a Chubba Cheddar review of the 92 Paseo.
It's an old Mercedes. It's fine.
Complimented.
Well, considering the spring rates this car is going to require in the front now, steering's not going to be its strong suit.
Yeah.
Well, and we're going with factory wheels. So aside from the motor sitting through the hood of the car by about a foot,
you're just gonna cut a hole in the
we're
hood.
Going full Mad Max.
Yeah. Cut a hole in the hood. Yeah. You should put. Why don't you do a NACA duct into a roof-mounted radiator? They do that in Lemons all the time.
But we're actually gonna do the intercooler and the radiator in the trunk.
Oh.
And we cut a hole in the bottom of the trunk. And
from underneath.
From underneath.
Oh, okay.
And up through a hole in the trunk.
Oh, extractor vents.
Yeah.
Reverse F40. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Theoretically, because we're pulling air up into the trunk, it should give us some ground effect in the rear.
So you need like a fucking diffuser, like carbon. It needs to go 4 feet out past the
bumper.
You need
a flat bottom.
You need to Bozo Zuka.
This needs to be, Mercedes 240D long tail. What if can we make like Lexan Aero and really.
Do whatever we want.
Yeah, we can. I think we can.
I think you need a big splitter on the front to just even out the rear.
We need something.
Yeah.
My goal by the end of the year, because I am working with high school
students. Give Phil keys. Are you going to go out? If you're going to go outside, you're going to get locked out if you have the keys.
It's a little one.
Yeah.
We're working with high school students fabricating. So I could get in there and do all this stuff, but then I would learn a lot and the kids would learn.
Right.
So they're fabricating. And so right now they're making motor mounts. And because we have 8 weeks of school left, if they can get the motor in the car, physically secured in the car, I'll be stoked.
Okay.
Super happy.
If you hit them, and grade 8 bolts.
And is the motor in good running condition otherwise?
Well, it has 750,000 miles on
Jesus.
it. Jesus. And a blown head gasket.
Blown head gasket's easy if it's already out of the car.
But that's just warming up for a Cummins, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's seasoned now.
And is it's what year is the truck out of?
04.
So it's turbo diesel, not just a diesel. Right.
And it's the 305 horsepower, 650 foot-pounds.
And
stock.
It's a manual gearbox?
Automatic.
Okay, and you're using that gearbox.
Because it's free.
Yeah, well, free is good.
Dude, this
yeah.
will be rad when yeah. it's done.
And the drive shaft will be about 18 inches long.
Yep.
Perfect.
And then I assume you're using the ECU out of the truck?
Yep.
So you're going to talk to somebody like Banks or something?
Well, anything, can you make gauges and stuff like that work?
Somehow.
Okay, cool.
Not sure how yet.
Gauges are sec.
Even 16th. If I have to, even well, if I have always, to put in,
I'm always curious about that.
Oh
kind
yeah,
of
no,
stuff.
I'm saying like priority wise, just like skin.
What color is it?
Ugly black.
Oh, okay.
It was an ugly blue before that.
So are you going to paint it?
We'll see.
You got to de-chrome it.
Again, we'll see.
Yeah,
dude, just go patina style, but it'll have 600 foot pounds of torque and just murder.
Oh,
tires.
I know a paint where you paint it on your car and it turns your car rust, like your full car just surface rust the whole car. Be badass.
Like, yeah, it's called not the faux in bad patina. Shape right now, so I might wait and see.
Let it rust on its own.
Yeah,
you can just there. Park it down at my house for a few weeks, yep. Put it ground down.
Yeah,
but I want to have something left of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's the point? Drag car?
Just idiocy.
Oh, okay. Are you going to roll coal with it? You going to set Absolutely. It up for that? Are you doing smokestack exhaust?
Well, we've talked about that. Chris was talking about that with the other day. I want it to come out the passenger side fender.
Okay, that's fair.
As we started yeah. looking at routing. It would completely preclude a passenger because the exhaust would have to go through the passenger footwell.
Oh, yeah.
But it would be real easy to just turn the elbow 90 degrees and
go straight up.
The single stack.
So you go out the front fender?
Well, I want to go out
just
the
out the hood.
Or
right?
you want to go out the hood.
Can you go out just behind the front wheel area?
Well, like that's what I was trying
out the
to
hood
do.
You're probably going to get a lot of that back in the cabin, though, if you go into the front wheel.
And if you go out the hood, like, are you going to have air conditioning in this thing?
No.
So you're going to have to drive with the windows open, which yeah. means your exhaust is going to be directly in front yeah. of your open windows all the time.
Can you run oval piping underneath and back out behind the back passenger door?
There's a lot of things we can do. We haven't gotten that far yet.
So you get the width.
Why don't you run it directly out the front bumper going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Ram around the other way?
Then you can, yeah.
back for pressure. Back pressure.
You need back pressure.
Yeah. I think
it'll pre-spool the turbo?
Backwards.
It's like anti-lag.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, and then you also need a smoke screen.
The world's first extra lag system.
I forgot, last week on the podcast, we were talking about, because I got that text about fucking Alex Roy's, April Fool's thing right before we did the show. Were we skeptical or were we believers during the show?
We believed it. Glucker didn't.
I think we kind of believed it.
We did.
I think it's more believable, actually, if you know Alex. If
yeah.
you don't know Alex, you're like... Yeah, I'm not really buying this, but his April Fool's Day prank.
After reading the book, I totally believe it.
If you know him in person, you absolutely believe it. Because it's like, okay, here's Alex. He's insane. He's wealthy. He's been off alcohol and drugs for 2 years. People who do alcohol and drugs, myself included, you need that vice. And you take away one vice, the other vice starts itching. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, if he had a bunch of extra money and a bunch of extra time and sat down and did it, there's no way that Alex is not capable of doing all of those things. Well, and or Maher.
Well, we talked about the dual driving position many, many months ago on this very podcast with mm-hmm. him. He's like, if you had to do it again, what would you do? Well, dual driving, this and this. So we covered a lot of things we talked about like 8 months ago,
yeah.
which means it's semi-feasible.
You know what, though, is now he's got the greatest prank ever. Next April Fool's, he's going to release it. Nobody's going to believe him. And then he'll actually have done it.
And he'll actually have done it. Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, but if you know, like I know Matt Figliola from AI Design who built Alex's cars, and he's like, oh, Matt built this car. Like, Matt builds the wildest shit. Like, back in, like, 06, I was at his shop, and he had, a Suburban that looked stock, and it had, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars in like anti-spying and like all this crazy shit in it that he was like, you can't tell anybody about
that
this
car thing. That Alex spec'd out, though. That's like a 2 or 3 year project. That's a big
yeah, but
he could
like,
do
he
it.
Could have done it, and he could have done it without saying anything. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and did that, and I wasn't on the list of people. To
oh,
know.
He will
I
do it
be
now.
Surprised.
He will fucking do it. You know
or what or what I'm, Zach I'm said, he actually did exist. Do it. Dropped on April 1st to tell everybody. They go, not really. But he actually did do it. Statute of limitations in a year from now.
And he still got his point across of no one checks on journalism
anymore.
Yeah, it's
a big FU to everyone for a year.
And our point, which is these are the kinds of things, this inspiration that come about when going cross-country in the million-mile Lexus. Which is where that idea was come
like,
up
if
with.
If only we could do this faster.
Yeah.
Because this is terrible.
Dual LS400 driving positions.
I was stuck in Google Patents the other day, and I saw
everyone is want to do.
Yeah, there's a
Thad gets lost in really deep corners of the internet sometimes.
There's a Ford patent on a it's like a turntable for variable drive positions. So it has a turntable in the center, so you can have a driver in the front, and it'll rotate.
Oh yeah, that was like a Motorama show car thing from the 50s. It was from the mid 50s. Yeah,
something like that.
Where it was a 3 or 4 seat car, and it would turn like a compass. And like, you know, if Harrison over here was left nut, you know, and you were the driver, and then it was me and Rick. Our whole shit, the whole floor pan would spin like a turntable.
Yeah, he would slide onto the turntable, and with drive-by-wire, it can just move very easily. The pedals and controls don't matter.
Well, no, the pedals and controls don't even move. If you move fast enough with the people on a turntable, it just, wee, flip.
How awesome would the world be if it was actually the future of the 50s? Like, if we had fucking joystick-controlled jet-powered shit? Fucking so
it'd be amazing.
Sick.
There'd be no Japanese people. It'd be fantastic.
I never would have made it.
So Roy's car was a Q50?
Well, his fake car.
So
the fake car
with
was
with a steering angle sensor?
Yeah.
You just have to tell the steering angle sensor to look at the other one instead.
Well, that's
so you don't even need a mechanical linkage.
No, it wasn't one. That it was
yeah, it's
it,
all drive
I mean
by
the
wire.
Cars drive by steer by wire, so their made up bullshit was that there was a toggle switch and that the car didn't know the difference. They just doubled them in, you know, obviously this isn't real, but in theory that's how it worked, yeah.
Well, in theory it's a lot easier. Jeep at one point made a hydraulic steering Grand Cherokee and it was set up to steer backwards.
The steer wheels were at the rear?
No, the steer wheels are at the front, but if you turned left, the Jeep went right.
Oh, that's fucked up.
So it was really hard to do.
Imagine fucking pranking people with that.
They had to use hydraulic steering to do it. Well, now cars with electric power steering and a steering angle sensor.
You can just
tell the computer.
You just invert the x-axis.
Yeah. Why do they do it backwards?
Just to screw with people.
Just to fuck with people? Yeah. That's great.
It was an Easter Jeep Safari.
That's a great fucking video great. Idea to get pro drivers and get those cars set up like that and have them do that on a track.
Really?
Patent pending right now. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a
watch
good
one. Tanner comes in and does it better.
If I see that on Motor Trend, there's two people who are getting their cars like keyed.
The only Top Gear challenge I really want to do, and we should talk about this because the reason Rick's here is as much as we enjoy his company. Rick teaches auto shop at a high school in California. Should we plug? Can we plug?
Absolutely.
Norco High School Los Angeles, and he's brought his kids' homework.
High school in Norco,
and his kids' homework was to come up with a Top Gear challenge. And did you tell them we were going to be grading them?
Absolutely.
So we're going to grade his kids' homework.
Everyone gets an A.
Yeah, everyone gets an A. But the only Top Gear challenge I ever really wanted to do was the where you drive the other people's cars. That one was amazing, where you're two people in a car, and then there's two cars, and my steering wheel and pedals controls the other car, and his steering wheel and pedals controls my car. How fucking scary would that be?
Very scary. Yeah.
That's some shit right there. Like, that's like... That's nasty stuff. It sounds awesome. Only Top Gear could have done that. R.I.P.
Well, they did the one with two stack cars.
The double deck was dope, too.
I like that one.
Tim Schrick, my friend from Germany, was on Team Germany in that challenge, and he said it was fucking mental. Of course, he's out of his mind as well.
Well, your center of gravity's a little higher.
Yeah.
Well, then, what is it? Steering up top, pedals down below, right?
Steering on top, pedals on the bottom, yeah. So
didn't they do one where they inverted the top car as well?
Yeah,
so all the blood goes to your head.
Down. Yeah. It must have been very difficult.
Ugh.
But I hope that's only a couple laps.
Yeah, I think the whole thing lasted like three or four laps, yeah. Because they just crashed all the cars.
So, word about break time.
All right, we'll take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to grade. Hold, this is a girl. No male wrote this. That is girl's handwriting.
That's impeccable.
Jacqueline Jose Franco Garcia.
Wow, that's...
She is so Catholic.
I thought there was a bunch of...
That could have been one whole name.
Well, Jacqueline was certainly their scribe. It's probably the only one of this whole thing I can actually read. Holy shit, dude. I pity you having to read this. It never occurred to me when I was a kid that teachers would actually have to, like, decipher all this shit. Like, this handwriting in some of these is abysmal.
I've decided that if the teaching thing doesn't work out, I can go work for the CIA.
Holy fuck. What? Look at the size. Look at his handwriting.
That's actually big for him.
Is this good for him? It looks like Sanskrit. Okay,
they got rid of. Remember how we used to have to write on the three lines and do cursive and all that?
Oh, here's a girl. This one has three different colors on it.
They've eliminated like handwriting from education.
Do they do
for a lot of. That's what I read the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's no handwriting lessons
time
anymore.
For that crap.
Type.
Doing app development.
Know your home row, motherfucker.
No, we don't have that either. We don't have the money for that.
But I like this Mead 5-star paper with its reinforcements.
That's one of my overachiever girls.
Fuck you, I tore it. She's going to get her over back like, what the fuck?
they knew I was coming down here.
Oh, okay. Man.
So I told them, I'm like, if they actually decide to make one of your ideas, there will be significant extra credit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
for sure. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to grade homework. And with a sip of this Sam Adams, I'm inspired to talk about Vegas. Yes, Las Vegas. Springtime is the best time to visit Las Vegas. Get the best deals, March Madness, Spring Break, etc., etc. With a little help from our friends at Vegas.com, you can save even more money. Listeners have saved real money at Vegas.com with this exclusive offer. Here it is. 10% off everything, including excluding air hotel packages. Imagine what your friends will think when you reserve a suite in Vegas for the weekend. Get that party started. Vegas.com is the only way to book Vegas. Everyone knows insiders get the best deals. Unlike other travel sites, these guys are from Vegas. They live in Vegas, work in Vegas, and party in Vegas. They know the people that set the prices. Vegas.com offers the best rates on not just hotels, but also headliner shows, tours, attractions, and VIP bottle service. Go to Vegas.com right now. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. And enter my code TIRE to receive an extra 10% off everything but air and hotel packages. That's Vegas.com. Click on the microphone and get your bonus savings by using secret code TIRE. Book it today. And when you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com. today. The Smoking Tire is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. You just need a computer, a microphone, and an internet connection.
So I sent Zach a link earlier today. Somebody launched a very interesting podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it's a hentai podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice. Japanese anime porn.
Yeah. I believe it was called Hentai Boys.
Japanese gay anime porn. All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all tentacles in the end, right?
I tried listening to some, like, Playboy radio on XM. It's not sexy.
No.
But I have gotten in, you know, I'll go to New York, visit my parents, you know, and I don't really have a car in New York, so I use theirs. I can't count the number of times I've gotten in my father's car and found Playboy radio just left on the Sirius dial.
I know somebody that works for them, and she just kind of goes to work in just ratty ass sweatpants. She's like, yeah, there's nothing interesting.
Oh, yeah.
All.
Yeah, porn is not sexy.
No.
Especially not when you don't see it. You don't have to see it.
Yeah, and especially not when you're running the back end that runs that industry.
Is that a euphemism?
No, no. Because remember, I used to do that shit.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I had porn editing. It's not a good job.
Oh, I didn't edit, but luckily I didn't edit.
Yeah. What else is happening? On the Smoking Tire, we've got our New Zealand series still going. R34 Skyline probably will be out. No, out the day after this podcast comes out.
S3 one take?
The S3 one take. We got a one take with my Corvette with new wheels.
We're doing
I got
a Fiesta a shit
bunch
soon.
Of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on our video channel. Check it out. Follow us at YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, / The Smoking Tire, and of course, TheSmokingTire.com.
So just search for The Smoking Tire. You'll find all the shit.
You'll find our things, and leave a comment if you listen to iTunes, the podcast on iTunes. Okay, Rick. Let's talk about homework. Should I try and read them, or do you want to translate?
Let me see
a
couple of them.
Around.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll pass them
around here. Chris, you take this stack. Thad, you, oh, I,
here.
All right.
Here.
Just hand the ones you can't read.
Okay, I can't read.
Give me like two or
that.
Three more.
I don't. This is a diagram. I don't really know what that is.
Let me see that.
All right. Should we? How should we organize these?
So let me preface it by saying I was gone one day.
Okay.
And I left the kids a Top Gear episode to watch, and it was one of the challenges. And I said, your assignment while you're watching this is to come up with the next Top Gear challenge.
Okay.
And I told them that I would give you and Glucker at Hooniverse the opportunity to read these, and if any of them were worthy of doing a special, that they would get significant extra credit. So okay. there was a little incentive in there for them. Some of them are into Top Gear, some of them less so.
Uh-huh.
So you can kind
did you have to explain what a Top Gear challenge was to some of them?
I showed it on the video.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll go through my first one. Let's take some thoughts. Raise a smart car, which I think means actually lift the smart car, not raise it from childbirth, and put the biggest engine you can fit in it and have it raced against a stock car, presumably a stock smart car. Put it in a monster truck rally in Nevada. I like that idea, actually. Smart car versus Fiat versus Mini Cooper and PT Cruiser. Go desert racing with these cars and damage the car as much as possible. Must go through two tires, pick up two cups full of sand, make two complete stops, and a U-turn. Make sure you can collect two rocks.
Like a moon rover?
C-minus.
So I like this one.
Okay, well, you got
all right. I'll read it. The challenge. It should be an obstacle course challenge.
Oh, I'm actually going to grade
them.
I'm not really.
Grade them. Write it on there.
It should be done in Norco due to uneven roads and massive amounts of dirt and hills. I like this one because it's like based in reality.
Okay.
The cars in use would be a 2015 Raptor against a 2015 Ram Runner. Additional challenges include... that's designing the truck. You can't design a truck. Have them hook up a horse trailer filled with untied boxes of either ceramic dishes, crystal dishes, and shot glasses.
This sounds like Top Gear. Okay.
Then they after finishing the course, must pull the trailer up a hill that has been slicked up by vegetable oil.
Okay.
So they do an off-road course.
Yeah.
See who has more broken, less broken shit.
And then they go up a super slippery hill.
Covered it in vegetable oil.
And they just roll the truck down there. It was a disaster.
Lots of broken things and lots of crashing.
I think that's good.
I like this one.
What do you think?
Yeah.
A minus? A-?
Yeah.
That's an A.
You think that's an A?
Here,
is that a full
what's
on A?
What's scoring like now? Is A 100 to 90? What? Yeah. How do they do this?
That's
are we grading on a curve?
Whatever you think it's worth.
This is an A. Can I get a red pen?
A red? Okay, here.
Red marker.
Here's one from
all
Kevin.
Fucking built-in A from a red pen.
They should do a top speed challenge. The challenge is to race a car against a train from Germany to Italy. Car that it will be racing is a Lamborghini. The road the car will be going through is the mountains of Germany. Additional challenges, they have to pull another car while racing. The other car would be a Corvette. Wow. Lamborghini towing a Corvette through the mountains of Italy and Germany. They have to take the Corvette at the end point without any scratches. You can't scratch the car. They also have to pick an animal from a pet store and take it with them.
You get the sugar glider.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's weird.
I like the fact that it's a little weird.
I like that it's a little. I'll give them a B. You get a B.
Well, what's complete failure of an idea? Like, an A is an idea. I think that makes us laugh.
I have one.
Do you have
that
weird diagram?
I have the
diagram. What is the diagram? What is the weird diagram?
This is an example of least effort possible, I'd say.
There's a picture. None of these other ones have pictures.
Bear with me.
Outside the box.
First off, there's an assumption of a budget that we do not have. They should test top speed from Italy to Germany. And race to see who's going to get there faster. Will that be implied in a race?
Well, it could just be a border crossing.
Right.
Five different classes.
Oh, okay.
Some of the kids
are
advanced kids and some of the kids are advanced kids.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yeah. And then here's where it gets a little interesting. A modicum of effort on this part. It should have 3-foot poles on the front and back with two targets, and the first one to hit the target 3 times wins. And the diagram is...
So using a car as a weapon and hitting targets?
It would appear to be the case.
I like that. I like that car archery where the car is the arrow.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
However, that's with a McLaren and Koenigsegg that both resemble...
Well, one looks like a Fiat
Explorers?
500L. And the other looks like a Coke bottle on wagon wheels.
That's, there's Coke that bottle. Classic Coke bottle shape.
Yeah, and it's proof that no one can spell Koenigsegg ever.
Okay, well, yeah. How did he spell
actually,
Koenigsegg?
Actually, no!
How did he spell Koenigsegg?
Got it right!
K-O-N-E-I-G-S-E-G-G.
But the crossed out one underneath it.
Yeah.
Oh, the
bottom one's
it.
Bad. The bottom one is...
okay, racial well, slur.
Car.
That's an A.
Is the new Koenigsegg just the new Koenigsegg dash R is apparently coming out. It's called the Koenigsegg. Never mind. Okay. It's not called the Koenigsegg.
That's it.
Okay.
Put a grade on it.
Here's one.
Here's a red pen.
That guy, he gets a solid B for car archery, though. Car archery, no?
How nice
do we want to be to these guys?
They did a car shooting thing on Top Gear.
They like launched one like a rocket.
The piston
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the piston
That's
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty close to lawn darts.
Okay, what?
That's not a B.
That's pretty good for that group? Pretty good for that group?
Could care less about cars.
Okay.
But they, it's an actual thing that Top Gear did.
It's an actual thing, yeah. All right, here's another one.
Yeah.
These guys, Finn and Ane and Christian, Andy. Sorry, that's a fucking D. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they want to put their grandmothers in Lamborghinis, and they've even chosen a track, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Ontario. Three Lamborghini Gallardos with grandmas customizing the cars as they please. There's a drag race. There's a lap time. But apparently, there's also the winning grandmother gets to keep the car. However, there apparently is a full contact race with Mario Kart-like sabotage. They can run the cars into each other, cover the windshields in mud, throw small food items or phones at the other cars.
I like it.
I mean, full contact, destruction. That's Top Gear. Grandmothers.
It's amazing we haven't ripped off a Mario Kart thing for our own
life. Okay, you've got a B minus.
We don't have
insurance. B minus. That's in the spirit of Top Gear for sure.
I'm going to have health insurance in May.
Hey, Muzzle.
Welcome to adulthood.
Oh, God. I like living my life dangerously.
What, do you have one?
All right, I got one. It's okay. Three V12 Audi R8s. They meet up at Norco High. The challenge is they have to drive to downtown and, this is probably written by a girl, retrieve an outfit for my weekend. The challenge
she's going to be a handful.
The challenges will be that the freeway will be covered in jumps, obstacles, roadblocks, and they have to hit all the jumps and go around all the roadblocks, and then there will be cameras in various taxis. Apparently they're following them to know that if they cheat. It seems a little like Grand Theft Auto.
That sounds like Grand Theft Auto in the real world.
I go B minus.
Not much realism there.
No.
And Zach, the funny part is that actually is fairly realistic for that kid. That's reality.
that's what his life is like.
That's his life.
Karina Rios and Ezra Beard. And are we allowed to say last names of underage?
No. First names only.
Okay. I got a good one.
Oh, you got to go. Okay, what do you got?
Two cars will be racing 1 mile in Ethiopia.
Okay.
The cars are Volkswagens versus Astrovan. They both will be off-roading. It's hippies versus moms.
Okay.
They're both blindfolded with their wives giving them directions in the passenger seat, with the Volkswagens having balloons in the back seat with tacks glued to the ceiling, and their goal is to not let any balloon pop. The Astrovan windows are covered in yolk, and the eggs are inside as well as where they can't get them. The winner to the finish line will be rewarded with a new Lamborghini.
Top Gear doesn't have these Lamborghini prizes that all these kids are talking about.
We've done a balloon pop episode.
We did a balloon pop a very long time ago.
I think that's pretty good.
I have another. I'm going to throw this one away because I have another blindfold. I have Charger Hellcat versus Z28, both blindfolded drivers with their passengers giving them directions. It's a good fun challenge. It's a good fun challenge. I'll be minus him.
I have one here that I think there was a little confusion of the Top Gear test versus the challenge. So they're proposing a competition between Corvette and then a Lamborghini, a Huayra, a Zenvo, an F1, a Saline S1, and a Koenigsegg, and then a built pickup to see who can go faster, who's going to have better fuel economy. So they wanted to do a comparison. So they kind of misunderstood but they clearly did a lot of like thinking about what cars they wanted to match up. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
And welcome to Norco. There's got to be a pickup in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's a good one. It's a
saline one. So
it's one sentence. This one's great.
Well, Saline's a local. Oh,
he's from there?
Just in Corona. He's just down the street.
Oh, okay.
A little further than West Coast Customs, but
someone
not
should
much.
Mail him a dyno, I hear.
All right. How about this one? New EcoBoost Mustang versus the Ford SVO Mustang, the Fox body with the turbo. Okay, it's old, right. Old versus new comparison.
Okay.
It's only two challenges, a drag race and a full-on rally cross at Glen Helen. And then he writes, episode description, Ford suck.
I guess we know which student that is, don't we?
Remember the one we were talking about earlier?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't have to look at the paper. I know.
They didn't even put their names. They just put their team Cinco Amigos.
I don't have... I know. So I have five kids in the advanced class that are like my top kids.
I drive a Ford.
and so they are Cinco Amigos because it's the five of them kind of do everything together. But they're my top kids. And I
can't. That's hilarious.
That's really funny. Who else is good? Chris, you need more? My stack is heavy. What else? You got one, Thad?
All right. Two people will choose between a smart car and a Fiat 500. They will then receive $1,000 in cash to purchase parts for their vehicle to give it to the worst worst gas mileage possible.
Mm.
They will race.
I like this challenge. It's a good challenge.
They will race across the Tristan da Cunha, the most remote inhabited and archipelago island in the South Atlantic Ocean. It is 1,750 miles from South Africa and 2,090 miles from South America. And it is 1,512 miles from St. Helena. Tristan da Cunha is one of
Wait, I just read a story. Just read a story about this island. It was on the news.
That's probably where they got the idea.
Yeah, island's in the news. Like, they've been having trouble as being self-sustaining, and they're rebuilding all this infrastructure in a contest. It's actually a current events thing. This guy gets points for actually picking this location.
It's not a guy.
Okay, girl. Whatever.
The land contains extremely steep and rugged terrain. The course is going around the perimeter of the island, and the perimeter is approximately 20 miles. The person with the least amount of laps wins. Runs out of gas first.
I would like to give that one points because they use the word archipelago, mm-hmm. and the last one I had misspelled there.
I looked at the island. There is a little bit of a road on it, so
there
it
is.
Seems
yeah,
feasible.
I
looked at it on Google
road,
Maps.
Yeah.
Like it would be good. Just okay. Really fucking
Rick, I need you to translate this one because I can't read it.
Translate to soup.
Oh, here. Okay, you got one?
I've got one that's interesting. They want to do, like in Phoenix, they want to take a Mustang GT and a ZL1, and they have to modify the cars to get them to hit 200 miles an hour in the heat with weight in the car.
Okay. Both doable.
Yeah. Nitrous.
Both doable. That's a good fun one. Yeah. All right. This one, someone's into vintage cars. You have someone who's really into like pre-war?
Yeah, I don't know about those
cars. I don't know. So this team has three cars. 1921 Mercer Raceabout with 70 horsepower. 1922 Packard Twin 6 with 88 horsepower. And a 1928 Stutz Blackhawk Boattail Speedster. Someone has really good taste. With 115 horsepower.
It'd be funny if his parents had all seven, those cars in a barn.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know what to do with these. It's just what I know.
In Norco, it's entirely possible.
I believe it.
And, and they had to go 775 miles along the entire coastline of Italy in less than 24 hours. And each driver only has $500 in fuel. You know what? I mean, cool. It's a cool challenge, right? Contemporary competitors, scenic vista, an added third-party challenge.
What's on the last sheet you have there? I see a map of a track on the back.
Oh, someone's made a racetrack on the back of this one.
All right.
So, I actually don't think it has anything. I read this challenge, though. These guys want to drive a Ford Raptor and a Chevy Silverado modified to be waterproofed up a rapids. Which actually I think is fucking badass. I'm actually kind of about.
I like
to
that.
Wait a couple years to film it in California though.
Yeah, yeah. They want to. Oh, it says in Idaho. Yeah, they want to do it in Idaho. So
I like that one.
Daniel,
give him an A.
Cool.
Daniel McAllister. Is that Daniel McAllister?
Yeah.
McAllister.
All right. Yeah. Daniel and Kevin. Period 3. Well done.
Trucks up rapids.
Yeah, cool. Trucks up rapids gets
that's
a solid A.
Sketchy is all.
Oh yeah.
All right, I got
and
one.
I think
so
I think
right up
think
your alley.
You get to drown
gets a
in a Raptor.
Vintage cars in Italy gets a B plus.
All right, I got a race. Top of your challenge race. That's straightaway, but then later they say circle. Lamborghini Aventador versus McLaren F1, but they want to race on a mud track with a parachute on the back of each car. Like those guys that like wind sprint
with a
parachute.
Drogue.
that's funny because I also have a parachute on a vehicle.
Really?
You've exposed cheating in Norco.
Do you talk about parachutes in
nope.
class much?
Nope. We've
do
not
these people sit?
Could you read?
It.
Could you read that one? What is that
I
one?
I will try to read this one. So they have a 1975 Volkswagen Bug, and they're going to go from Long Beach to Catalina Island.
And that's water.
Yes. One of the kids is going to have hydraulics, tinted windows, a sunroof, a mini bar. I'm not sure.
Forgot about
club
the
sandwiches,
part.
V8 engine, and exhaust.
Club sandwiches? He is ready. This guy is he going to have avocado on the club
He's
sandwich?
Hired.
Is
this is our
boat?
Life.
It's a fucking ocean.
Wait, will it be Black Forest bacon on the club sandwich? Talk to me more about the club sandwich.
I think this guy would have a good idea of exactly what's going on.
He knows how shit gets done because we don't work without sandwiches.
Well, and he would not be the producer that gets punched.
No. Lunch would be on time.
Another student says, nice boat and slug bug frame equals boat, kind of like Tron. Glows in the dark, neon lights, spoiler, and G-Wing, or whatever a G-Wing is.
Drug test him.
Yes. another one is a four-wheel drive slug bug with a V8 engine. Replace the wheels with propellers. Kept afloat on a large plank of driftwood. Balance all corners of cars with equal weight to prevent tipping.
Yes, always corner balance your driftwood.
Full with boat foam underneath.
So like a Boston Whaler. You saw it in half. It still floats. Yeah.
Basically, we try to drown off the coast of California.
I think that's pretty much how that goes.
These kids actually put in some cool. really good
right, like that one.
A solid B for the...
I give him B-plus going for aquatic challenge.
Yeah, for public school, man.
I have a solid A paper here with not one, but three challenges.
Really?
And they're all well thought
it's
out.
It's like a whole episode? All right, what
it
do you
is.
Got?
It's a full episode. So first challenge is the forward-backward challenge. And they say what you need to do, take the interior out of the car, somehow rig the drive controls so they're on the opposite side of the car and backwards.
Ah. So you're facing – so front left, the traditional driver's seat becomes
back
right rear mirrored. And facing out the rear window?
Yes.
Oh,
you have
God.
Two cars on the track and see who can actually complete a lap. And if they both complete it, the fastest one wins.
Modifying cool. the car in a horrific way?
Yes.
Completing a lap?
Let's talk
all right.
here.
All right, no, we're
the
in the game.
One,
we're in the
next
game.
One is a bucket test, and it's to test out the suspension and the ride quality of a car. So they make a couple laps around a track with a 10-gallon bucket on top as fast as possible to see which car can maintain the most water in it.
Okay, well, they've done that with the cups and stuff, but
we're
okay.
To do
still,
it coffee
still, top that. That. Still top
and
here.
And here's the batshit one. Okay.
This is when the weed took hold.
This is the spinning race. So what they want is a large circular platform that's large enough to put three vehicles on it, right?
Uh-huh.
Think of like a carousel on its side.
Like the Gravitron?
But flat.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then they're going to spin it in one direction. They put three cars on it and make them go in the opposite direction, and the first one to complete a lap wins.
Well, okay, wait. So let me get. Oh, so you've got
a
big
turntable.
A big turntable that spins.
Yes.
You drive in a circle counter to the spin.
Yes.
So you're racing and not moving.
Yes.
And the point is to make a pass. On a road that is moving in cars that are not.
That is
exactly.
Awesome.
Yo, that is some A-plus dirty-ass top
exactly
tier shit
I'm
right
saying.
There. Yo, who is that? That is a winner among winners.
This is Davis, Julian, and Christian.
Wow. Dude, that's a fucking great idea. That was really fun.
What speed is the turntable rotating at?
I don't know.
I don't care. Any speed, it's great.
And are we worried about lateral loading? I mean, let's say the car is driving on a disc. Disc is spinning very fast. Car is going very fast. But do you corner? What do?
You have to have some input. Corner.
You're cornering, but the car's not actually moving.
You're moving on the disc.
Yeah.
But it's not moving in space.
It's not really
right, so
moving in relationship
moving in
to
space,
the disc.
Is there weight transfer? Like, will the car understeer off the disc?
Well, it's all differential. So if the disc is moving 40 miles an hour, if you're going 60,
then you're moving 20 miles an hour.
You have 20 miles an hour G-forces. It's like
oval
racing.
Oh, so you should be able to whip pretty hard.
Depends on
lateral traction.
Make it spin faster.
That's fucking A-plus material right there.
That's someone
who's going places. Right. Should that be our last one? Should we save the best for last? Do you have anything else worth reading? I have two other ones in front of me, but they're both boring, frankly.
These involve hybrids.
Those can go.
This one has sharks at the end.
Oh,
I'll
yeah,
just say hint. It just says hint. Sharks are at the bottom, so don't fail. You don't need to know anymore. It's great.
It's awesome. I think we have some promising ones there, Rick. Not bad. Excellent. Very not bad.
I like the disc one, though.
All of them would be so expensive, though. We can't do
You
any
could do
of
those. The disc one at Hyundai.
They don't have a disc.
You can make a disc.
You don't have a big disc you can drive cars on, Race.
Maybe we sell that idea to Motor Trend.
Maybe. They don't know. Pat and Penny.
They don't have money either.
That's like having, you know, like the first driving video game. It was just the road was coming straight at you. You just move left and right.
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
went the same speed as a disc, that would kind of be like a replication of that.
But what happens when you slam on your brakes on the disc, you stop, then they keep moving around.
Or, worse yet, you throw it in reverse to see if you can get it going faster.
Oh. No, it's going forward to spin it faster.
Yeah.
Is the disc freewheeling or is the disc powered by
its
own thing?
The disc
has
got to be powered.
It's got to be powered. Is there a guy that changes the rate of the disc, which would affect your steering
just
at
like some
point?
Some evil like fucking creepy amusement park riders all methed out under there like, watch this, kids.
As if it was a variable speed on the disc that varied like 30 miles an hour. It was just up and down all the time. Well,
think about how many G-forces you feel in the Gravitron when you go to those shitty things.
That's one of my favorite rides. As far as rides that aren't roller coasters, the Gravitron has got to be my favorite, right?
I don't like those pukey rides.
Gravitron's not pukey. Once
like
you're
cheese.
In there, you don't really realize it. Plus, that they always have an awesome DJ playing the newest hits.
You try to put your legs and arms up. It's fun.
I'm just real excited because I started seeing the commercials this week because Six Flags is now open on weekdays. No one cares. We
so
need to go to Six Flags on a fucking
Six
weekday
Flags,
before
so
the kids
know.
Get out of school.
Is it always open on weekdays?
No. In the summer, in the winter, it's only on weekends.
I stopped following my Six Flags RSS.
No, you got to go to a Six Flags in April on a weekday while the kids are still in school.
Are
we
going
to bang out like 27
trip?
Coasters
in when
one
the
day
kids
again.
Are in school,
except
you're only going to get the gangbangers
at 8 o'clock
Six Flags.
In the morning. And you're done.
That happened to me once on the Riddler's Revenge. Which you're sitting on this metal saddle, it's on your balls.
That would ruin amusement parks for me forever. Yeah. If I got stuck on a ride for more than 15 minutes.
But me and Morningstar did do 27 roller coasters in one day once.
Yeah, that seems about right for Tom.
Oh, dude, it was awesome.
Wait, 27 times in a row?
We went on 27 roller coaster rides in one day at Six Flags because there was no lines.
When I was like 14, we were at Disney World, and my sister and I rode the Tower of Terror back-to-back like 13 times.
Jesus. Yeah. Is it still stay scary?
No,
just,
but it's fun.
It's all slow. It's just one drop, right?
Zero G's.
Yeah, it's still fun.
Edgar, who's editing Drive Stuff and shot some stuff with us, used to test the rides at Six Flags. His first job was like
really?
A vendor whatever.
Yeah.
And he just worked up to like operator, and then when new rides would come out,
he's the
every
ride
morning,
tester now?
He had to ride on every ride. You know, to check it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they have someone do that. So he had to do that every single time.
Oh, my God.
And they get like new. Yeah. Nothing happens.
Kind of sounds like firing squad.
Yeah, so he just walks around and goes from ride to ride to ride.
Ride to ride and writes down if there's like a weird vibration or a problem or anything like that.
Yeah. Huh. That seems like a fun minimum wage job.
He said it was pretty fun. I think one time he was testing like a Superman-ish ride.
Yeah.
And it was coming back and like the magnetic. It's got like two sets of brakes, he explained. It's got like magnetic brakes.
And then like emergency
brakes.
It has
emergency magnetic brakes. And then there's like an airbag. And this went through all the emergency brakes and just hit the airbag.
Nasty.
I think he stopped doing it after that.
Nasty.
That he's done.
I did one of those snow tubing things once. You know, they build a big berm at the end and you go up the berm like a half pipe and then back down.
I already
down.
Know where this is going.
Oh, yeah. They didn't account for good old Matt Farah and his 270 pounds because I went out the pipe and into this giant catch fence, which was like a fucking slingshot. And it like into the catch fence, and then I bounced out of the catch fence and rolled back down the half pipe. Fucking asshole.
Do you remember the Alpine coaster things, the single route Alpine coaster videos we were watching?
Yeah, dude. Are we going to do those?
I'm not going
to
be there.
Are we going to get to do those in Austria, the Alpine coasters?
Oh, in Austria? I doubt it.
I want to
because
do those.
You know, but
you're gonna have no fucking time for anything. But if I was an eccentric billionaire, I would have my own Alpine coaster.
Fuck yeah, that one we watched was like 10 minutes down.
That's how you get to your garage.
I'm pretty sure you could build one big enough to
have
do.
Have you
a
seen
loop.
Those things in Austria? These Alpine coasters, they're sick. It's like
it's
one rail that goes
it's a
down a whole mountain
tube with an indicator thing on the top ridge
with
to
a
control
guide rail
your camera
on top.
And lean.
And you're in a single car, and you have a brake. That's it.
Now, I lived there for 8 years. You would think that I would have lived there. Yeah. I really missed out on shit when I was there.
Yeah, and you go down and people go like no brakes. It's like their thing, and they whip like 60 miles an hour down the
street. Got to see the video of this guy. He's obviously an older guy that's frustrated. he ended up like rear-ending this chick at speed multiple times. You just see her like getting crazy.
What do you mean, like I am in Adams?
Who?
When I go to Adams,
there's just this guy like, fucking bumping you the whole time.
No, I'm bumping them. They always put me behind some slow girl.
Yeah, because it's basically what happened. Because there's no distance between them. People slow down for everything, and you just catch back up. And eventually started like bumping her and ended up like fucking her up pretty good.
Yeah, look at that. Holy whipping shit. On this Alpine coaster.
Oh, I'm all over that.
Yeah, right? Like it's like 3 kilometers long or something.
That's what Malibu needs. This is in from the top category down. Yeah.
Things lawyers will never let happen
and
in
so
the US.
Like, can you fall off?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to maintain balance.
I don't think you can fall off.
No. I think you can be ejected.
Yeah, yeah. The chair is attached.
Yeah.
I think on that one you have a harness. I think you might have a harness on the Austrian one.
But they have like rollers and like big sweepers.
Look, he's going past felled trees. That's just like splinters.
That's
just
awesome.
Waiting to happen. You impale
he's
yourself.
He's whipping pretty hard.
One more thing to do when I go to Europe next year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
when
definitely.
I was driving home the other day through Palos Verdes, and there's some big ass hills in there. The runoff ramps for the truck, Hyundai run right down it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He was having some brake failure.
One of these days, man, I swear I'm going to hit one of those runaway truck ramps like 80 miles an hour, just flat. Just to see what
I think
happens.
You'll stop much
yeah,
faster.
Yeah, it didn't look like these people were having
fun. I think
we're
having a chance when we do All Cars Go to Heaven 2. Mm-hmm.
The nose of this car was completely dug into the gravel, and the windshield was just all smashed in.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
Yeah. Like, it's not going to be a good time.
Secure all objects beforehand. Yeah. Through the windshield.
Do we have anything on Facebook before we get out of here?
Yeah, we got a couple questions.
What do we got?
What is the adult equivalent of high school auto shop class for those of us who'd like to fill out their high school schedule a bit differently, looking back on it?
Well, wonderfully enough, almost all of the community colleges offer auto shop programs. Most of them are set up for people wanting to become technicians, but if you just lie and say that's what you want to do, you can still go in and learn the information.
And then just have it.
And so the way most of them are set up is that during class time, you're working on the school vehicles, doing the school assignments. But if you finish early, or if they're open on a Saturday, hey, no problem. Bring
work
your car
your
in.
Car,
we'll do
yeah.
whatever you want to do. You just kind of have to work things out with the instructor.
Yeah.
The best way to do that is to be an exceptionally good student.
Yeah.
Because if they figure out you're not going to screw stuff up and they don't have to babysit you, go ahead. Problem.
Yeah.
So we have some really good programs. I don't know where they're riding in from, but Southern California, Riverside Community College, Cypress, Chaffee Community College.
I'm guessing the Midwest is probably damn good for this, too.
Oklahoma.
There's a bunch. In the suburbs of New York, there was a bunch of programs as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like trade school stuff happening up there.
There aren't enough trade school things, is my opinion. Like, my college education student loans are fucked.
Well, our age, our parents spent so much time with you have to go to college to get this mythical good job.
Oh, no, they're still doing that.
Yeah. Oh, they still are?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and now it's probably even more important when you're younger and even less important when you graduate.
Well, the problem is that the parents have all been told for many years that the best or people make more money if they have a college degree.
Yeah.
What they don't account for is the people that don't finish.
Yeah.
And the people that finish with a liberal arts degree and go, now what the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they wind up back at the community college to get something that's actually worth something.
Yeah.
Except now they have $100,000 in student loan debt instead of $5,000 in student loan debt.
Like, how much does a welder make, like, starting? Like, if you can weld, like, welding pipes, whatever, it's like probably $25 an hour.
I have friends that are pipe fitters, and they make a damn good living. I mean, even in Florida, they're making like $90,000 a year.
Dude, my friend Brandon was a garbage man in New York and made $100,000 a year, worked 4 hours a day. Like, full government health benefits. Like, there's definitely middle-class jobs out there that do not require college
degrees. And, like, you know, $90,000 a year, like I said, in Florida, that's damn good living.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere outside of a major city, that's great. That's great living.
Yeah.
It's far above. I just read the median incomes and stuff. Like, that's practically upper class in most of the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Upper class is usually like 100K. You're right there if you have a two-income family. Or
meanwhile, so, 100K, you might get a nice rental in Los Angeles.
Yeah, in L.A., it's not really doing much for you.
Yeah.
So what they don't understand is that you can be a professional mm-hmm. without a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, as I look around the room, I see a lot of people that have worked really hard to get something that it's not a piece of paper that got you there. It's the getting out and doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the point I'm trying to get across to all of my kids every day
I don't care what industry you go into. If you don't ever want to work another car again, I won't hurt my feelings. But go out and do something and make a name for yourself. And don't wait for someone to give it to you. Because the other issue we have is this entitlement generation that thinks that everything needs to be handed to them. And they just wait around for someone to
and
do it for them.
I'll say, like, coming from the tech industry, almost all the most brilliant people I knew dropped out of school.
Well, you have to just make shit. People ask Matt all the time.
They
like,
dropped out of
do?
School just because they were doing so much on their own. Yeah.
They were doing so much on their own, or it was holding them back, and it was a waste of time. Yeah. You know?
Do things. Doing things is a good way to get somewhere.
The piece of paper is just to get in the door.
Yeah.
You know. Well, we were talking about the CNC machines before we started recording, and like if you know how to operate that and make parts well, that's at least $100,000 a year job. Like, it could be aerospace, it could be anything, it could be one-off, it could be all kinds of crazy shit.
And, I mean, the piece of paper is basically something that displays, I'm able to do a certain amount of work and tasks, and this is proof of that. But if you also, instead of getting the piece of paper, go and do tasks and have a resume of, like, well, I built this parts, and here's my catalog or anything, it's the same thing.
So let's take the guy in New Zealand that built the car.
Oh, right. Alex Kelsey, yeah.
Total great example. Don't spend the money on the college education. You might learn a little more of the theory side of it, but I worked for a company called Applied Materials in the Bay Area for a while, and we got engineers in there that were designing things that couldn't be built because they had no idea how the machinery actually worked to build the thing. Yeah, basically now we can build it because we have 3D printers, but until at that point you couldn't build that item, and so we would send it back to them and go, "You can't build this."
Yeah,
and they're like, "Well, what do you mean I can't build it? You physically can't build this."
We're doing 90-degree rights and shit.
But the problem
only
is,
exists
so,
in SolidWorks.
So we have some students at our school right now that I know are going to Cal Poly to go into engineering next year. But they can't take my manufacturing class and they can't take my automotive class because the UC system has a stranglehold on everything in California because all the school districts have decided that it's only a good class if UC says it's a good class. And UC has come out on a number of different occasions and said, well, we are a research-based institution, and we've had multiple classes come back rejected from UC because there's too much lab. There's too much hands-on.
That's so weird. Crazy.
And yeah, in private schools where they make their own rules, they don't have fucking auto shop class.
Well, actually, they do. There's a really big one in Rancho called UTI.
Oh, yeah.
Automotive Trade
School. Yeah.
And they've kind of got a corner on the market.
They have other UTIs as well. It's a franchise. There's one in New York, too. Yeah.
But they're pretty, and they have a lot of new stuff. And so the kids come in, and they go, oh, this is pretty, and they have a lot of new stuff. And then they get out in the real world, and they find out that 90% of the dealerships, unless it says
don't have the stuff the UTI has.
Yeah. They're working outside, and there's no air conditioning. Yeah,
how much does it cost for kids to go to UTI?
Somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000.
Wow, a year
total.
But it's only an 18-month program.
Okay,
6 hours a day for 18 months. But if you compare that to a community college program, they both get the same ASE certificate when they're done. Mm-hmm. Community college is $5,000.
Yeah, that's way.
The one thing I will say is that I've met a couple of kids that are, I think they just wrapped up at UTI, and they kind of went down more of the tuning and the electrical engineering aspect of things, and they got a lot out of the program doing that. And I don't know that you're going to get some of that stuff for the community college.
You'll get some of that stuff, but the problem is the market for the tuning and – now, the electrical side of things, there's more market for, but the tuning side of things – they want you to have some experience just doing basic diagnostic and repair work before we turn you loose tuning stuff. Because you need to understand, I mean, there's so much stuff that you run into as a technician, especially when someone worked on it before you did.
Yeah.
And knowing how to get there, you need to go make some mistakes in the business. You need to work for a couple of years either in a private repair shop or in a dealership just turning out work. Because one thing the kids don't understand is speed.
These kids were pretty motivated. I mean, they had their own project cars and stuff like that. So they went into this with a base level of knowledge. But, I was impressed with the stuff that they were talking about considering that they were pretty green.
What else you got, Zach?
What is the worst fabrication job you have ever seen?
Well, you're dealing with students, I imagine. I mean, some bad ones.
How about that Porsche a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, no. I'm talking for him. Like, if you had any things where it's just like, who did, why would you?
It's not so much fabrication jobs. It's you can't tell me that you didn't think there was a problem here. I've had a brake rotor come in I mean, you know how there's metal on one side, metal on the other side, and veins in the middle?
Where one side of the metal's completely gone? One side of the
metal's completely gone. And that kid was a dirt track racer.
Really?
Legitimate. Watched him go out and race and fast. And this is off his personal truck. He comes in and goes, I think I need to do a brake job.
Maybe.
No kidding. Yeah. And then I had another student that rode a motorcycle 40 miles a day to commute back and forth to school. And comes in, and we're working on the bike for a few minutes. And I look down, and there's brake fluid leaked on the floor. And I'm like, hey, we need to fix this. And he goes, oh, it'll be fine. I'm like, no. I'm impounding your bike. You're going to fix this. And we get looking at it, and he has worn through the brake pad, the backing plate for the brake pad, and the piston on the brake caliper. The reason it's leaking is because there's no piston left. Whoa. And the next time you come over, I'll show you, because those are on my wall of shame up front.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm just like, how is this possible? And then he was mad at me because I wouldn't let him take the bike.
That's crazy. Like,
no, you must fix this or your dad has to come pick it up with a trailer.
Yeah.
His dad's a Orange County sheriff.
Oh, yeah. So he'd probably love that. I can't believe a cop would let his kid ride a motorcycle to school.
Probably doesn't know.
That's fucking crazy.
Remember the GS1100 gave Corbin?
Yeah. Oh, was that his? Oh.
No, not same bike, though.
Oh.
The kid had a different bike.
What
happened was, I think both parents had motorcycles because they used to ride together. And then when the kid turned 16 and needed something to drive, it was easier just to give him the bike. Theoretically, only a couple miles to school. How much trouble can he get into?
All the trouble. You can get into all the trouble in a couple miles.
1100.
Yeah.
That's
a 125 bike will get you in
trouble.
Our
friend's 90-pound girlfriend just got her motorcycle license and has decided she wants...
I know you mean
fucking Gixxer 600 or a CBR 600 RR.
She said a leader bike. RR.
She
said
she started with leader bikes. Jesus. And I was like, are you fucking insane? And I'm like showing her videos of like guys on 250s, like hauling ass through the canyons. I'm like, 250. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, all my friends have 600s. I'll just use less throttle. I'm like, you are going to die. You're going to die. Like,
you're going to pay for so much plastic surgery.
So much more.
You have to have a level of maturity to start. Yeah. I started on a 600, but I weigh 250
pounds. Dude, I weigh 250 pounds. I rode a 600 as fast as fuck.
Yeah. And then I moved up to an FZR 1000. Yeah.
And that was a 600 how many years ago? And they've gotten a lot faster since.
Yeah, mine was like an 07.
Yeah, they got a lot faster since.
Yeah. Anything else?
Let's see. Best vehicle in memory that a student had or worked on?
In memory. Not too many of my
kids
have.
We prefer in memory.
2008 Honda Odyssey. Carpet replacement. I sold that van, by the way.
I heard that.
Yeah, I had to sell it. Yeah, it was boring.
Did you make decent money on it?
No, I lost money on it, obviously. But
all right, so I guess it was acceptable.
It wasn't that bad. It was, I think I had that car for 2 years, and it cost me like $4,500 for 2 years.
All right, so
it's not terrible.
How many shoots did we use it for over 2 years?
Oh, probably 30. A bunch.
That's about rental car rate.
And a bunch of other random road trips and random things.
I think if you can keep it under $3,000 a year, you're okay.
I think it was fine, but it was, you know, whatever.
Cheaper than leasing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Even with replacing the carpet?
Even with replacing carpet. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Final thoughts. Thanks for coming back. Your students have they've done well on their top gear challenges. It's not bad.
Thank you. I'm very impressed with some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them will be doing rewrites.
I really like the Up the Rapids.
The Up the Rapids was a good one. And the spinny disc was a really good one, too.
Yeah, that turntable was...
Those are fun.
Up the Rapids is totally feasible.
Yeah, yeah. Totally possible. We need a Unimog now. Let's go.
So, final thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm working on... You're familiar with Factory 5?
Yeah.
I'm working on getting a Factory 5 GTM to
Oh, nice.
Those things are kind of neat.
With the Subaru motor, right?
No, GTM the V8. They have LS motors. LS1 with the Porsche Transaxle. I think this one's actually a Mindiola because they couldn't find a Porsche Transaxle.
The Mindiola Transaxle.
It looks like almost the 4 GT.
They said. So there's a local college that will remain nameless until I get the deal put together. That apparently when they took on the project, someone came in and said, oh, by the way, you can't do this during class time. And so it's been sitting there for approximately 2 years. They don't have time to work on it. They're not allowed to work on it during class. And then the instructor's like, well, I'm not going to come work in for free.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, well, if I'm going to come work for free, I'm going to work on my own car.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of been sitting there.
And they have the transaxle?
Motor is there. I haven't seen the trans, but I was told that it had been purchased and was either there or on its way. Body's there, the kit's there, but it's like the interior aluminum panels, they're just starting to rivet on. So suspension's hung, it rolls.
Right.
But that's it. That's all that's there.
You see in 3 years.
The transaxle's like $12,000, brand new,
My understanding is it's on its way or it's there. So
those things are neat, though. I had a friend who built one of those things, and it was really fast.
I think Haddad has one.
2,800 pounds.
Mike Haddad?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have one. He worked on them before. I just saw him.
Build it? Or is that for you?
No. The idea is we'll have all five classes.
That's super cool.
That could be cool. That's a cool thing to work on if you're a student.
You are a rad teacher.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to have it ready for paint and body by Christmas. Paint it over Christmas break. Back after the first of the year so we can tear it back down race car style and go through everything one more time, make sure that
and put it back together again.
Track day, bro. Yeah. Go to the track.
Then we will get together with the smoking tire to go out to Fontana and do a little testing.
Yeah, and I get to fucking drive this thing that's built by who knows who, by the fucking guy who wrote this.
With an auto class.
Give all kids rides, man. That is awesome.
I'll drive it. You bring me your shitbox, I will drive it, even if it's a Factory 5 GTM built by 80 different people.
Again, remember, you get to grade their work.
Oh, yeah. So no, I'll be like Gordon fucking Ramsay in Kitchen Nightmare.
Absolutely. I'm on fire. You get an F. You get an F for fire is what you get.
I'm on a Gordon Ramsay kick.
Sparks is a D because I've seen cars in WRC competition catch fire.
Yeah, I know. Fire happens. It's okay. Yeah. My own car caught fire just last year.
What car?
The DeLorean had a bit of wiring.
Oh, that's right.
Sizzled a little bit. It's fixed.
Yeah,
all right, cool. You know where to find us, all the Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Leave a comment on iTunes and, you know. See you next week. I got nothing else.